Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. Last time we were together, we began a Bible study entitled Dealing with Depression. We were talking about going through a test and learning how to trust in the Lord and learning how to find answers to the questions of, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn about you? What do you want me to learn about others? What do you want me to learn about myself? And we said the first step toward depression is discouragement. And so we were talking about discouragement, and we finished our last broadcast by sharing with you that the first step away from discouragement is discernment. What is it that God is doing in our lives and through the circumstances that we are facing? We shared with you that the way to the palace is by way of the cave, and we were using the psalmist David as the illustration, how that he'd been anointed as the next king, but when the Lord first wants to make a man, he has to break a man. And so it was necessary for him to live in a cave for a while, running from King Saul, who was trying to take his life. Now, in that cave, God taught him how to pray. Oh, there you go. You see, in verses 1 and 2, "Be merciful in me, O God, be merciful in me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High." So he's teaching him how to pray. See, we always pray better in a fiery furnace or a lion's den, don't we? See, God is teaching us to be urgent in our prayers. I'm convinced that when we are urgent in prayer, God becomes urgent in answers. And we discover that he's our anchor. You know, you'll never trust the security of the anchor until you've been tested by the severity of the storm. And so whatever storm it is that God is putting you through, trust the security of your anchor, and you'll discover that he is your anchor. So God has to teach us how to pray. Secondly, he has to teach us how to praise. Verse 7 says, "I will sing and give praise." This is the same psalm, Psalm 57. So after we've learned how to pray, he teaches us how to praise. You know, you've got to know problems before you can know the God of the solutions. And so consequently, whatever God is bringing you to, he'll bring you through. That's a good statement to write down. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it, knowing that you can give him praise for it all. And then next, God had to teach him how to persevere. How to persevere, how to keep on going. It says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." See, if you can't take the loneliness of the cave, you'll never endure the loneliness of ministry or the loneliness of whatever it is that God has called you to be involved in. How important it is for us to remember that so often we are tempted to quit just at the very time that victory is ours. The poem goes, "When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell just how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit." How true that is. In fact, I put that poem at the end of my doctoral dissertation on pastoral burnout. And we studied all of the reasons that men came to the point of saying, "That's it, I'm done, I'm out of it." "Don't Quit" is the title of the poem. So in your cave, you learn to pray, you learn to praise, you learn to persevere, and then you learn to serve. You learn to serve. See, if we have not learned how to serve, then we are not ready to be served. So many of us want to get up in the morning and put on a bib. Because when you're wearing a bib, you're ready to be served. Now, you ought to put on something just like that, only it's not a bib. It's an apron. And an apron, oh, that goes around your neck as well. But an apron is designed to enable you to serve as opposed to be served. In 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2, it tells us that when David was running for his life and he was in this cave, it says, and everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So here he is in the cave. He's learning how to pray. He's learning how to praise. He's learning how to persevere. And then God sends him 400 men to serve. To serve. You see, you can't help the folks in distress like you ought to until you've learned that God is all you need in distress. The same is true with in debt and discontented. That's the kind of folks God sent him. See, God never wastes suffering, but he gives you a ministry through your misery. So look beyond the hurt and the pain to find the joy and the gain. And always remember that when you come to God, nothing comes to his attention that is not touched by his affection. The songwriter said, God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. That's your God. And so consequently, the first step away from discouragement is discernment. The second step away from discouragement is discernment of the duration of discouragement. I'll say that again. The second step away from discouragement is discernment of the duration of discouragement. See, David knew that he was going to be the next king, but he failed to realize the length of time before all that would happen. And so as a result of that, the temptation is to just give up and say, there's no way, I can't continue on. In fact, just a few chapters later in 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1, it says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. He'd given up. He didn't discern how long the testing would be. So we also often give up all hope that anything will ever change. When we give up, we often make dumb decisions, as David did. In the next few verses, he decided that he would go and live with the Philistines. The Philistines. You see, when the intensity of the battle can't break you, the duration often can. Because it's the duration of discouragement that you often despair over your unanswered prayers. Now remember this, I've shared it with you before, but I'll say it again. In your prayer, if God is not doing something for you, then he is doing something in you, that he might do something great through you. I'll say that again. If God is not doing something for you, then he is doing something in you, that he might do something great through you. See, God is doing a secret work for you during the duration of your discouragement. During this time in the cave, he turned the hearts of the Philistines away from David to keep him out of the battle in which King Saul and Jonathan were killed. Had he been fighting with the Philistines in that battle, he never would have been asked to become the king of Israel, because he would have been fighting with the Philistines when their king was killed. And then, remember, they came back from that battle where they were turned away, and Ziklag had been burned. This was the town that the Philistines had given him and his people to live in, left him homeless, thus putting them back into the Israeli territory when the people of Judah began searching for their next king. You see the hand of God? See, the duration of discouragement let David see his own selfish and fearful heart that needed to become right with God. Now, how do I know he wasn't? Well, there's no mention of an altar when he was living in the land of the Philistines. There was no trusting in God to turn things around for him. He was now trusting his own ingenuity and going out and killing Philistines and wiping out their towns, things like that. But he was trusting in himself, not God. And he was so close to the death of Saul and the nations needing a new king when he caved in and fled to the land of the heathen. Are you like that? Are you ready to run? Are you so close to God opening a door when you turn around and walk away? Has the duration of your discouragement robbed you of your joy and your peace, maybe your vision, your dedication? Maybe this morning, before this broadcast is through, you need to run to the altar of dedication and turn from the altar of discouragement where you've been living. The question is, do you have any rivers that you think are uncrossable? Do you have any mountains that you can't tunnel through? Now, what's the next phrase? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. And so the first step away from depression is discouragement. But then the first step away from discouragement is discernment. So what is God doing in your life? Where is your cave? Or maybe I could say, who is your cave? Because often people become our refuge. We run to people. And God is saying, I've got some lessons I want to teach you. And it's not through people. It's through myself. He wants to teach you how to pray. So how's your prayer life? You say, well, you know, I have trouble getting to it. That's because you don't start the day with it. That's exactly what God wants. Start your day with prayer. Find a place alone. May have to get up a little bit earlier before the hubbub of daily activities take place, but find a place of prayer. And once you do, God will begin to teach you how to praise. Because you begin to look at your problems as opportunities to see the mighty hand of God do its work. And once you've prayed and praised, then you're able to persevere. Then you're able to take the loneliness of the cave. Then you're able to take the ministry opportunities now that God gives you, like David and his 400 men. Oh, and they brought their families too. So he had a huge passel of people. He started out by himself. Now, he's got a huge congregation that he is attempting to minister to because he's learned how to pray, praise, and persevere. And my friend, as we bring this broadcast to a close this morning, what congregation has God given you? Your children? Your wife? Your neighbors? Others around you? Folks in your church? Young people in your church? Whoever it is, let them see that you're turning from depression and discouragement and turning to the Almighty God. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in an awesome way.